I did have a moment of terror before I come up here. I've got this thing right here. My wife insists that you wear this. And so I've got it, and I put it on for a minimum amount of time. And so I was waiting for my moments before coming up here, and I went to the bathroom to put this tie on. Becky, I can't get the button in. It wouldn't go together. I'm dead meat. Well, I'm going to talk about us. I'm going to talk about the kingdom of God. I'm going to talk about victory. I want to talk about what a Christian looks like. I've got a picture I'm going to show you just in a second. I've got a picture of what I consider is a Christian or several Christians. Now, these men have given it everything they've got. I mean, they're working hard. They have got a job to do, and they're doing it. They're going to conquer. There they are. Those are the Christians. That's what it looks like. Hard at it. Involved, engaged. We're going to be here to the end. We're going to pour all our guts out. We're not intimidated. We will prevail. That's us. What does it take to look like that? What do we got to do to be able to be that kind of people? God wants us to be that way. He wants us to not be ashamed. He wants us to be involved every minute of our lives. He wants us to put aside the elements of our enemy, the devil and the world. He wants us to set that aside. And he wants to impel you and give you a vision. He wants to give you a purpose. He wants to give you the resources to be able to do what you need to do. Right there in 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Born is an important word in there. We're going to have some people here born again, not too long. Just maybe within the week, there are some people who are thinking in terms of being born again. To be born again is that you are different. You're a different breed of cat. You're somebody different than what you were. I remember talking to a brother that we've got here in our church. He says, "The man that I was doesn't live here anymore. The man that I was, you can't find him. I'm a different person. I'm somebody different than what I used to be." Born of God right here is he takes you in. You're going to come in there and he's going to overwhelm you and you're going to see him differently than you've ever seen him before. You're going to see him as somebody that has put new blood in you, new purpose in you. You're a new man, a new person, a new life. We want to be born of the Spirit of God. He's directing us. He's leading us. He wants us to be different. This world, we talked about in Sunday school class. We talked about in this world, there is a pitched battle. And that battle right here is for your soul. And the devil wants you. The devil wants to conquer you. The devil wants to take you. He wants to ruin everything that we understand to be good. He wants to make you do what, if you don't do what he wants you to do right here, you're an outcast. You're rejected. But we don't care because we're not part of that family. We're part of the family of God. He that is overcome in the world, overcometh in the world. Every day you're sitting there at your desk. You're walking downtown. You're on the job. You're talking to somebody you know of. There is a battle that's being fought every moment of your life. Where are you in that battle? Are you an innocent victim? Are you one that just takes it and it's easy and you can't take the heat right here and you just list that way? The Book of Mormon and the Bible both say there's a word called listing. Listing to obey. You're listing this way. You're listing until what? Until you fall over. God wants us to list his way. List in favor of the kingdom of God. List in favor of the victorious power that's going to reign. God is going to prevail. The world is going to come down. The world is going to be rubbed out and destroyed. Those that are standing are people that, just like I showed you, that bunch there, they're pulling with everything they got. They are committed. They're engaged. They're involved. In your Book of Mormon, there's a man on page 193. His name is Enos. Enos is probably at one time was a fairly worldly guy. Enos probably was a guy right here, he's marginal. He's maybe this way and maybe that way, and maybe tomorrow he's this way, and maybe the day after that he's some other way. But he has been affected by a good power in his life. And who's that power? Mom and Dad. But he speaks of his father. He talks to him about the joys of the saints. He talks to him about how good it is when we come together, when we really love each other, when we act like it, when we serve each other, we help each other. We're doing everything we can to help raise up the kingdom of God, the prevailing power. And Enos remembered those thoughts. Mom and Dad, you got a job. You got a hard gut rope, kind of a job pulling on that rope there with your kids. You have got a responsibility. You're going to be held for that. Raise up those kids. And don't raise them up with a nipple of worldliness and evil right here, but raise them up with the nurture and the admonition of God. And so this Enos right here, he says, I'm going on a mission. My mission is to me. I'm going out to the woods. I'm going to seek God and see where he's at and see what he can do for me. And he goes out there and he says what? I'm going to tell you of the wrestle that I had with the world. I'm going to tell you that before I was forgiven of my sins, I want to tell you I was in a mighty wrestle. In fact, is that wrestle don't ever go away. If you think that maybe the pressure is going to subside right here, you got something different. It's not going to subside. You need to be ready. You need to be on board. You need to know what is the prevailing power. And it ain't the world, and it's not the devil. God's going to win, and he's going to prevail. And he's looking for a few good men and good women. So Enos, he bows his knees down to God. He takes this earnestly. He knows exactly what he's doing. I want that. I want to be in the realm of God. And so he prays. And he prays, and he prevailed. And he was victorious. And God came to him. And what was his thought when God came to him? When he was praying there was this nurture that was coming in that was feeding his soul and feeding his decision. And what was it? I've got a desire for the souls of men. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do you believe? You've got it set in front of you. You're hearing it. What we're dealing with right here is from heaven above, from Almighty God. He has got the word of life to transform your soul, and he wants to do this. And it's a victory over where you are, and where you are is not that good. And where you need to be, and that's really good. And where you need to be right here, and it's the victory that overcomes. I'm going to overcome myself. I'm going to overcome with the power of God. I'll guarantee you, I'll tell you something right now. You can't do it without God. You can't do it with just pure persistence. You're not going to be able to do it. I've set myself on a diet of no world for one or 2 days. You've got to set your mind right here that that's no place for me. I don't go there. I don't like those folks. You like the folks. You don't like what they're doing. And Enos was a man that was in search of that. Overcometh the world, even our faith. The Bible says right here, without faith what? Impossible to please God. Without faith, you're sitting here, and you're sitting here, and you're sitting under the scrutiny of God. You're also sitting under the scrutiny of the devil as he's looking. Who's going to come my way? That faith is that I can take on God. I can put the Lord in me. I can breathe and believe and do the things that God wants me to do. I can do that, and he will promise you that he's going to give you help. He's going to bless you with strength. And our faith is, I believe God will do it. I believe in the moment of trial and difficulty, and the world is piling up around you, and you got nowhere to go, and it looks fearful, and you're the only man standing, or the only woman standing, and you're standing there, and you say, God, give me help. Do you think he's going to ignore that? He is rolling up his sleeves and says, go get him. I'm after you. I'm with you. I'm going to give you power, and you're going to prevail, because I don't ever lose, and I don't lose this battle. And so we've got this faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's substance and evidence. You've got reasons to believe. You've got your faith right here in the Bible in the Book of Mormon. You read it, and that's the manual from God from heaven above that says, you do this, and I'll guarantee you, you are a victor, and you're going to conquer, and you're going to prevail, and you're going to be with me in heaven. And I'm with you if you allow me to be. And I'll be there. Because you got the victory because of your faith. You believe that. We've got testimonies. Every Wednesday we come together, a community service on once a month right here. We got testimonies about what that faith does. Now, I'll tell you what, we're going to see it later on right here, but I'll tell you what, there's some mighty faith cooking in this building. There are some people, there's some prayer warriors right here that are praying hard, and things are happening. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast and immovable. If you remember the first pages of the Book of Mormon there's a dream. Remember the dream? Father Lehi has a dream. He has this dream, and what does he see in his dream? Well, he sees a narrow path. He sees a rod of iron. And that's what you've got to do. That's written there for a reason. The rod of iron is there because you're not agile enough to be able to stay on the path. You got a rod of iron because it doesn't move. You got a rod of iron because it's going to tell you things and put things in your heart and impel you to do the right things that allow you to get to the end of the rod of iron. But as he was going, Lehi and family, he's going on the rod of iron. He's going through the mists of darkness. He's on his way, and he looks forward, and he sees where he wants to be, that fruit that's most delicious. But before he gets there, he's on the way right here, and guess what's always there? It's always in your heart and in your life and in your presence. What is there? The world. And as he's on that rod of iron, and he's trembling, and he's holding hard, and he's doing everything to stay in there without getting turned over, up there above there is the world. All of them having a good time, and all of them dancing and laughing and joking and carrying on. And what does the world do to you if you're committed? What does the world do to you if you have made a pledge and a commitment? I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to be led by God. These are the things I want to do for God. I want him to direct me. What does the world do? You know what he does. Points that terrible finger at you. Oh, what a disaster. I can't take that finger. I'm not able to resist the power of that finger, because that finger is telling me and is laughing at me, and I feel insecure, and I gotta do what they want to do to get the laughter done with. And what did Lehi and Nephi say? What did they say? We heeded them not. We didn't pay any attention. We didn't look at them. We don't care. We don't care what they think. We don't care what they say, because they're going to hell, if I could say that gently. And the Christians and the workers and the victorious and the winners and those that are having in their faith to follow after the Lord right here, they're going to be with him. That's just it, plain and simple. And we've got to have that in our mind. This is not fun and games. This is not just something right here. We're going to church on a Sunday right here. We go to church a little bit, church on Wednesday right here, and I can't take no more. I know a brother right here, and he moved away from where he was going to church because they didn't have church enough. Ooh, I thought that was pretty neat. Can you imagine that? We've gone down to Mexico and down to Honduras. We have done that, not bragging, not saying anything, except the fact that those people like to meet together. They like to meet four or five times a week. What are we doing tomorrow? Well, we're going to church. Well, what about the day after that? Well, yeah, we got a song service. Or we got some special event. We're going to help somebody, right? We're together. We love each other. We love working together. That's our call. That's our calling. We're called to be involved and engaged. We're not called to be sitting drinking lemonade there in front of the TV watching the Kansas City Chiefs. You smirked. And that was Nephi and his daddy right here. They got to the point, if you remember the rest of the story, they got to the point for which Father Lehi was reading the scriptures, or he was praying to God. As he was praying to God there, God told him, he says, you got to go to town. You got to go back to Jerusalem. You got to go back there and confront the man that's in charge of the treasury and for the word of God. You got to go back there and get the manuscript or the plates of brass. You got to get that. You got to bring it back. The brother said, we can't do that. It's impossible. There's only three of us right here, maybe four. We're only just a few of us. Those guys got guns. They got knives. They've got every kind of thing. They've got manpower, and they'll kill us. They'll string us up. What did Nephi say? If God has said it, then it's possible. If God commanded, then we are to do it. And he was not dismayed, and he did it, and did he accomplish it? Whenever God tells you to do something, I have found out that most of the things that God tells me to do right here is the things I don't like to do. I found out right here that when God's talking right here, I get nervous. I said, because that means that I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to go somewhere. I'm going to have to be embarrassed. I'm going to have to embarrass somebody. It's hard. And Jesus and what Nephi experienced right here is that he's not going to give you anything that you can't do. Let him call you. Be an open book. Be somebody of value in the kingdom. Because what the world is standing for, we read it there in our Sunday school class. It's going to pass away. But the things of God are going to live forever. And thus God breaketh the bands of death, having gained the victory over death. We all know the story of Jesus. Jesus is talking to his disciples about things they can't comprehend, and he probably talks to us that way too. And what he talks to them, he says, my brothers, I'm going to die. No, you're not going to die. We're not going to let you die. We're going to protect you. I've got a big sword right here. Nobody's going to get near you right here. No, he says, that's the will of the Father. I've got to die. But I want to tell you, it's just a moment. I'm coming back. It's not going to last very long. I am going to die, but I'm coming back, and I'm going to demonstrate. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you right here that death, that enemy right here, cannot prevail. He will not prevail. I'm going to rise again. And he rose again. He gained the victory over death. Well, you remember the story of Elijah in the Old Testament? Remember the story? I think it's pretty neat. Elijah is going with a young man, Elias. They're going around, and they... It came time for Elijah to go home. Elijah's going home, and he tells Elias right here, he says, it may happen today. If it don't happen today, Elias says, I'm staying with you until it does happen. That's a good thought right there. I'm not leaving you. I'm not going anywhere. Where you are, I am. I'm not going to leave you. All right, boy, come on. We're going over yonder. They went over yonder and said, is this the day you're leaving? He said, well, I don't know, but probably not today. But there came a day for which the chariot of fire came. I would have loved to have seen it. Here comes the chariot of fire. And Elijah tells the young man, he says, if you see my cape and if you see me before I go right here, you'll know that you got the power. God's going to give you the power. And he wanted five times the power that Elijah, and boy, that was mighty. And that chariot of fire came by and picked up Elijah, and away they went up into heavens. And they went up there, and he did not die. We're going to see that a little bit later, maybe. But we're going to see that Elijah did not die. but he had power and victory over death. God arranges as Elijah, you're not going to die. I'm just going to come by and pick you up, get ready. You got your clothes on. Here we go. And he came by. And in Elijah and in Jesus right here, there was no fear whatsoever. Jesus is going to the cross. Elijah is going on the desert path. They both got a destiny. One's going to die. Jesus is going to die. Elijah's going to go right here. But both of them are victorious against death. One other guy. Who is the man right here? And he had a couple of sisters. And he's getting sick. Who's that? Lazarus. Lazarus dies. Are sisters happy about that? Don't worry about it right here. We're coming. We're going to come down to get him. You're going to see us in just a little bit. He dies right here, and they put him in a tomb, and they seal the tomb up. I think it was 4 days. He's in there for 4 days, and all grief has been poured out for the lost brother. Mary comes, or one of the sisters comes to him right here. He says, if you'd been here sooner right here, he wouldn't have died. I've got everything under control. There's not a moment wasted. I'm late according to you right here, but I'm right on the moment according to God's timetable. And Jesus comes in, points to the stone right here. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. But what is it? Whether you die, you fly, however you go right here, you're in the will of God right here, and they're in the Christian. And I hear that all the time. I'm the older I get, I'm beginning to talk to people. We talk about, we're getting old. Well, we're getting that point of maybe no return. And I talked with a brother, and that brother, I told him, I said, every day, and I do this, every day I tell Becky right here, says, I'm another day. It's another day done, is what I tell her. Another day done. And what this brother told me, he said, but what I say, another day closer. Ooh, that was good. I'm another day closer. Has no fear. Death has lost its sting right here. It's not something that troubles him because he's looking forward to, because he knows and he has the impress of God's Spirit upon him right here, that I am a child of the King. He loves me. He's going to keep me, but there's things that I got to do, and I've got to be obedient. I've got to love. I've got to help the brotherhood. I've got to help the King. I've got to help the kingdom. I've got a job to do. If we don't do the job, don't sound very good. Giving the Son, this is Mosiah 8:35, giving the Son power to make intercession for the children of God, children of men. There was a dirty, rotten guy. This guy was wicked to the max. It's in your Bible. This guy has done it all. He deserves to go to hell. I'm not swearing. He deserves, he has done everything that adds up to, buddy, you need to go to the electric chair. You're gone. You're out of here. But that man happened to be on a cross. You know who I'm talking about? He's hanging on by three nails, just like his cohort in sin. And over here is the innocent one, hanging on three nails. A lot of agony, a lot of pain. A lot of wish I'd done something different, wish I hadn't come here. But those two thieves there on the cross right here were two different kind of cats. One of them was a blasphemer. He's hanging there and he's dying and he's gonna go to hell within moments. And he's blaspheming Jesus. And he says, if you're the Son of God, get us all off this cross. The other man says, shut up. You and I deserve to die. We deserve to be burning in hell right here. Jesus, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. Jesus with herald, with banners, with tremendous power, says, today you will be with me in paradise. Overcoming, but Jesus, the intercessor. I want the intercessor. I know I'm not good enough, and either are you. And you need somebody to intercede for you. You need somebody to step in the gap. You got to have somebody right here that says, yeah, he did that. And yeah, that's what was cooking right here, but he's different now. And he's accepted my invitation. And he is a man right here that I can see ticking in his breast here, a heart of love for Jesus. And I don't want him to go anywhere but with me. And this day, he dwelt with Jesus. What a victorious feeling that might be, and should be. Mosiah 8:37, standing betwixt them and justice, having broken the bands of death, Jesus, here's the devil. The devil's coming after you, and I can see Jesus standing right there. You ain't getting past me. You're not getting past me. When I was working as a truck driver, a bunch of rowdy men. I was going to say wicked, but we're all wicked. But rowdy guys, and they got always plenty to say. Always intimidation, all the time, intimidation. This one man was after me. I had a whole bunch of truck drivers all surrounding right here, and this guy was coming after me. This man stood up and he said, back off. You're going to have to come through me to get to Randy. The way it is with Jesus. Back off, devil. Get out of here. You're not touching him. You're not molesting him right here. I've got plans. I've got plans that has to do with what's going to be the victorious in our day and the day afterwards. I say unto you that all those who have hearkened unto their words, may I say this, not because I'm saying it, but may I say, ask yourself this question. Am I hearkening to these words? Not because I said it, not because I'm up here. Are you hearkening to the word of God? I believe this, that God talks to every one of us all the time. And he's doing this. I don't think I would do that. Or he would say, good, that boy. Hearkeners is more than just a person who just heard. I used to do that with my dad. I'm listening to him right here, and I'm going, okay, Dad. I said, are you listening to me? Well, I wasn't. I was looking for a way to get out of there. But hearkening right here is when you have put muscle behind your ears. You are strong to absolutely implement what you have just heard. You're going to say, that's talking to me. That has to do with me. Now, I don't care about the rest of these folks, but I feel the God in his word and his spirit right here, he's coming down and he's talking to you. And he wants some changes. And he wants us to depart from the world. We talked about it today in our Sunday school class, but the Bible, your Bible says, depart from the world and be not partakers of her plagues. God knows what he's talking about. Get rid of your TV. Get rid of your, if your little telephone is commandeered your life and you can't hear anything but the cacophony of the world right here, you need to put it away. Whatever it may be, you got some friends, you got somebody talking in your ear constantly, right? Either say, cease and desist, I don't want to hear that anymore, or we can't be friends. Hearken unto their words and believe that the Lord would redeem his people and have looked forward. We're looking forward. That's what the Christian does. We're looking forward to those days for which we're going to be with Jesus. A lot of people don't like to think about that. And I'm trying to get myself to the point where I want to think about that. I want to think about that time of looking forward to the day of remission. You know, most of us, all of us, I would say 100% of us have done regrettable things. I would ask you to nod your head, but I'm not going to ask you. You have the power of God to be forgiven. Don't matter what you've done and what has happened, what tragedy, you have got the power of God that wants to restore you, to redeem you, to give you victory over the troubles of your heart. We've got a God that does that. The people that hearken, the people that love God, the people that move. When we leave here, what will you do? What will you say? Who will you connect with? What thoughts will you have? Whatever it may be, is there movement? Is God moving you to do what you need to do? I think you're hearing the Word of God today, not because I'm saying it. I'm declaring the Word of God. The love letter of God right here, the finality of it all, everything that's going to be engaged in our future right here are contained in these scriptures, are the admonition for us to come up higher and do better. Get involved. Get engaged. And the people that have done this are heirs of the kingdom of God, and they have won. They have gained the victory. I want to tell you about some victories lately. Six years ago, a tornado had its bullseye on my house. It came, shook up my house a little bit, but it created a tree junkyard. I live out in the woods. Created a tree junkyard. It's been ruined. It's a junkyard. How am I ever going to, in a lifetime, clean up all this mess? The children of the king came together. They made short work of that because they are children of the king. We went to, when was the rally, Becky, when's the rally there in Tennessee? Was that last year or 2 years ago?
Last October.
We went there and just had a great time. Well, how did this happen? Well, we Tennessee folk right here, we just got together and we got to thinking right here, we'd like to do something for the kingdom. We would like to have a little rally. I think it would just be great and be empowering right here that we can get together and we can do something for our God. And maybe help the brotherhood. And they did. And they got together. And those of us that went to it right here, we were shaking our heads and nodding up and down and saying, boy, I tell you what, this is just wonderful. We were fed by the work of victorious saints as they're doing what was required to bring it to pass. They're going to do it again this year. Right, Becky? Coming up. I'm not recommending that you all go to it right here. They'd all scream and holler, but wonderful. Why? Because those on that tug of war are pulling hard. They're pulling hard. They're working hard. They're doing whatever's necessary to bring it to pass. They're having something to do with that cavalcade of believers as they're marching up to Zion. That's what they're doing. They're helping out. What can we do to help the king? What can we do to make love increase? And they did it. Are the Bobbitts here? Did this happen, Karen, yesterday? The Brotherhood got together. We got a couple of folks right here that needed some real help. And they came together. And they did what would be advocated by this. They did whatever there is to break the chains that bind and to make it possible that love will increase, that hope will improve, that there will be another day, another tomorrow. All because of victorious spirits. All because of people have it in their mind, what can I do? What can I do besides just making breakfast and waiting for supper time and then going to bed and getting up again and going to the work? What can I do for the king? There's a guy here in our congregation. I don't know if this embarrasses him. I don't want to. He died what? He died twice. Some godly people there gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, did their best. The paramedics came right here. The knees began to fall. The prayers began. And the twice-dead man is in our midst today because God is victorious. And he knows victorious spirits. And he hears the cry when somebody believes that all they've got right here. God can raise him up. God can bless him. And he will. His wife right here, I've told this before. Testimonies, I'm saying this more and more. Testimonies are made to be said again. And his wife right here, the nurse comes up, says, well, your husband, this doesn't look real healthy and don't look good right here. It's probably going to take a long time. It's not going to take a long time, she said. And he's going to be out of here. And he was out of there in no time. Because she said, because my brothers and my sisters are praying for this circumstance and this situation. Our God is a victorious God. Jacob Denham, 3 weeks ago, maybe. He's going to the hospital. He's going to the hospital, and he's under the inspection of the doctors, and they're looking at him, and he's got sepsis all through his body right here. Everything is shutting down. He's dying, right? Who knows? He's dying. He was to have that operation. I went and visited him, and he was to have that operation, I think, the next day. He asked, Sean, he asked to be prayed for. And he was prayed for. And as I'm not saying one thing about myself, but I'm telling you how it is. So I'm praying for him. This black Kenyan woman, nurse, comes walking in as I'm praying. She very reverently stopped and was quiet. And I finished my prayer, and she pointed her finger. You're not going to die. You're going to rise again. He's home right now. He's home because of a victorious power and spirit in the hearts of the believers. Trevor, don't be embarrassed. Trevor was meeting with a bunch of folks down here at the visitor center. And he was having such a good time. And boy, the spirit was just moving back and forth. And boy, things were happening and it was good and right. And just what we all need. And they took him out to lunch. Lunch, Trevor? Took him out to lunch. There's something going. And I want to just end by saying that we've got a whole bunch of kids that have been being baptized lately. The message is beginning to go through, beginning to be heard. Kids are moving because there is a victorious spirit that is determined to save us and to gain the victory and to land you over there, over yonder. God bless you. Lord, watch over you. Be the kind of people that you ought to be. Heed what your scriptures are telling you. Believe it and act upon that. This little church of Christ we've got right